This is Doug Gillard of Guided by Voices, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firsthudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter Frank of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Towns around the Hudson Valley held swearing-in ceremonies January 1st, with new leaders ascending to different posts. At the Albany County Legislature, there were protests outside the swearing-in ceremony with environmental activists asking Albany County Executive Dan McCoy for a moratorium on burning tires while the county legislature works on a clean air law. In Hudson, Kamal Johnson was sworn in as the first African-American mayor of the city. At the swearing-in at Hudson Hall, Johnson spoke of his plans as mayor.
We're going to lead Hudson to a better future. Our appointments, can you believe that we're going to have 3 out of the 4 city lawyers are going to be women? We have a police commissioner who is specializing in so many different things in Chatham, and his programs are being implemented all across the capital region, especially at a time where our county is in the top 15 in opioid deaths and overdoses. So we really need to focus on this, and that's what my administration is going to be about. No more talk, it's about action now.
Ariel Zangler is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The county's Democratic Election Commissioner said the hand recount of ballots cast in the Ulster County District Attorney race could be finished sometime next week. Ashley Dittus said the group recounting ballots in the race between Democrat David Clegg and Republican Michael J. Kavanaugh was finishing early December 31st with voting system ballots cast in the town of Rosendale. The team will then move on to recount the remaining towns in order: Shandaken, Shawangunk, Ulster, Wawasing, and Woodstock. Socrates' ballots were recounted earlier in the process because of a close race in that community. After the voting system ballots recount is completed, all absentee, affidavit, and unscanned ballots must be recounted as well. Dennis said the count would be suspended January 1st for the New Year's Day holiday, but resumed the following day. Before the recount began, Clegg was leading Kavanaugh by 79 votes out of 53,623 cast. Because the hand count will last beyond January 1st, when the new district attorney is to take office, Kavanaugh, the current chief assistant DA, will become acting district attorney. If Clegg ultimately wins the race, he will displace Kavanaugh. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Rochester First reports that the Republican minority leader of the state assembly, Brian Kolb, was arrested for driving while intoxicated on New Year's Eve with a blood alcohol level over 0.08%. The arrest came after Kolb released a Christmas Eve essay asking for safe, sober driving during the holiday season. Kolb crashed the 2018 GMC Acadia worth $43,601 that taxpayers bought the assembly member in his driveway. The arrest was the first all year of any state legislator. Republicans have been denouncing new bail laws that go into effect in New York on January 1st. Kolb was released from custody. Quote, "This was a terrible lapse in judgment, one I have urged others not to make, and I take full responsibility for it," unquote, Kolb said in a statement. One Republican, Kieran Michael Lawler, assemblyperson of the 105th District in Dutchess County, called for Kolb to step down from his leadership position. Read more about this story at Rochester First.
Lana Bellamy is reporting for the Times-Herald Record. Governor Andrew Cuomo, December 30th, signed a bill into law that will phase out the use of PFAS chemicals in firefighting foam in New York. The bill addresses the related environmental and drinking water contamination by PFAS, which has affected many communities throughout the state, including the city of Newburgh. PFAS is a family of manufactured chemicals used in consumer products and industrial processes and is known for its resistance to degradation. Under the new bill amendment, the Office of Fire Control and Prevention may write a regulation that allows for specific uses of the foam if the chemical-free foam is not available. Such an exemption would have to be re-evaluated at least every 2 years. The measure goes into effect in 90 days. The 2020 National Defense Authorization Act, signed by President Donald Trump on December 20th, prohibits the use of PFAS in firefighting foam nationwide after October 1st, 2024. And you can read the full story at PoughkeepsieJournal.com.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that three corrections officers were injured in a December 20th assault at the Green Correctional Facility in Coxsackie. One officer was taken to Albany Medical Center for treatment of sustained neck and facial trauma. The other two remained on duty. The Union Mid-Hudson Region Vice President Michael Mazzala said that 2019 is the fourth straight year that assaults on corrections officers have increased. Quote, "In 2016, there were 760 reported assaults on staff in New York. With a week left in 2019, we are approaching 1,000 assaults on staff as inmate advocates continue to push for decreased disciplinary measures," unquote, Mazzala said. Thomas Maley from the State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision would not say much about the assault in Coxsackie. Quote, "The department is reviewing an incident involving several correction officers and an incarcerated individual that occurred on December 20th at Green Correctional Facility and cannot comment at this time," unquote, Maley said in a statement. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Rachel Silverstein is reporting for the Times Union on the various education items on state lawmakers' agenda during the upcoming legislative session. With billions of dollars at stake, the items will likely be taken up during the budget process or in the weeks that immediately follow. On the subject of education funding, the Democrat-controlled Senate and Assembly are expected to ask for a significant boost in state education funding. They will present a phase-in plan to repay school districts money owed under the state's foundation aid formula, which funds New York's 732 school districts. Lawmakers will also consider updating the formula itself. On student discipline, recent studies have confirmed that Black and Latino students in kindergarten through the 12th grade are far more likely than their white peers to be suspended. Advocates and educators argue that discipline that keeps children out of school is counterproductive. A bill sponsored by Senator Velma Nett Montgomery, a Brooklyn Democrat, eliminates suspension.
suspensions for minor infractions like being late to class, cursing, or so-called insubordination in all grades, limiting long-term suspensions from 180 days to 20 days, and prohibiting suspensions before fourth grade. And Governor Cuomo this week announced he will seek to codify his executive order prohibiting the sales of flavored e-cigarettes and cracking down on vape ads that target young people. Over concerns about student privacy, lawmakers have introduced several bills concerning the use of student data. Ambiguous laws on how the information can be stored and shared have made schools vulnerable to hackers and extortionists. Other pending One House bills include state guidelines for the use of AI-driven tech to surveil students and secure school property. Other measures would study delaying start times in middle and high schools, and another would make abortion pills available at SUNY schools. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that state labor officials announced an end to the sub-minimum wage for 70,000 tipped workers in so-called miscellaneous industries. Workers in the beauty industry, at car washes, valet parking attendants, door people, tour guides, and tow truck drivers are among those affected by the order. Quote, after an exhaustive investigation conducted by the Department of Labor, it's clear the tip system in many situations is needlessly complicated, allowing unscrupulous businesses to flout our nation-leading minimum wage laws and robbing workers of the paycheck they earned. That ends now, unquote, Governor Andrew Cuomo said in a statement. Actually, that does not end now, but in a year. The Department of Labor raises the minimum wage for these workers halfway by June 30th and the other half at the end of next year. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Dan M. Clark is reporting for New York Law Journal. Two farming trade groups have taken legal action in federal court to put a hold on the ability of New York farm workers to organize. The lawsuit was filed in U.S. District Court for the Western District of New York December 30th, and it requests a new state law set to take effect January 1st be put on hold. The Northeast Dairy Producers Association and the New York State Vegetable Growers Association argue the measure conflicts with federal law and is unclear about who has the right to organize. John Dickinson, a dairy farmer from Washington County who represents the dairy producers, said they are planning to comply with the law but need to delay the effective date until they know more, saying the lack of clarity is causing the dairy community unnecessary stress. The lawsuit asserts that the new law's definition of a farm laborer could be interpreted to include supervisors, farm owners, and family members of farm owners, make them eligible to engage in collective bargaining, thus creating, and I quote, an unworkable catch-22, end quote. In addition to providing farm workers with the option to organize, the new law requires they be paid overtime when they work more than 60 hours a week, guarantees one day of rest each week. The law also gives farm workers access to workers' compensation and unemployment benefits. And you can read the full story at law.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a mostly sunny Thursday with a high of 43, low around 34 Thursday night with a 50% chance of showers, mainly after 2 a.m. Showers continue on Friday. There's a 70% chance of rain, mainly before 1 p.m. Then it'll just be cloudy with a high near 41, low around 35 Friday night. Saturday, rain is likely. There's a 70% chance with a high near 42, low around 30 overnight Saturday with more rain in the forecast before 4 a.m. Sunday, snow is likely early in the morning. Then a chance of snow showers in the afternoon, turning partly sunny with a high of just 33, low around 22 on Sunday night. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Friday, January 3rd, the Ulster County-based Felice Brothers perform at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock starting at 8 p.m. On Saturday, January 4th, opening reception for Charles Benton New Works, which will be on display at the 510 Warren Street Gallery in Hudson, January 3rd through the 26th. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting wgxc.org/calendar.
Hi, I'm Herman from Athens. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cornelius Eady of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Glen Falls House in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I am Lena, and I am a student of MC Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're from Hudson.
Yes, I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
Bookish things.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
And today, because the holidays are just around the corner, we're going to talk about some of our favorite holiday books, movies, and music.
Yeah.
And maybe other things. So we're talking about the holidays. We're probably mostly going to talk about Christmas, but we're also going to talk a little bit about Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And maybe some solstice.
Wait, what's solstice?
That is on December 21st.
Okay.
And it's the darkest night of the year.
I forgot to include Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. I know very little bit about Kwanzaa, but like I have a book about it, which I only read around Kwanzaa because like, why not?
Yeah, I've read some books about Kwanzaa. There aren't quite as many of them. I mean, clearly there's a lot of Christmas books.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of Hanukkah books.
Yeah.
Not too many solstice books. Or New Year's books.
Or Kwanzaa
books. There are some Kwanzaa books. I don't know that I have any favorites.
Yeah.
I'll have to figure that out. I've definitely read a bunch, but I don't have any top picks.
Yeah. Is it just me, or should Christmas and Hanukkah at least give, like, Kwanzaa and New Year's and solstice a turn? Because, like, they have a bunch of books. So maybe you, like, if
well,
they're...
Well, it's not the holidays. themselves.
Yeah.
It's the publishing industry and the people buying the books and writing the books too.
Yeah. So
but yeah, there could be some more.
Yeah. And if there are any writers listening, please make books about New Year's, Kwanzaa, and solstice.
We have a number of books about the Lunar New Year, like the Chinese New Year.
Yeah. A few.
We have a few of those. But yeah, I can't think of any New Year's Eve, like December 31st to January 1st books.
Oh, yeah.
There probably are some. I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Kwanzaa books, if you're out there listening and you're like, there's this amazing Kwanzaa book. I can't believe she's not saying it's her top pick. Let me know.
Yeah.
You can contact me at info@hudsonarealibrary.org and tell me your top Kwanzaa pick and I'll look into it. Maybe we can get it for the library if we don't have it already. Or if we do have it, I can read it. And be able to sing its praises next year.
Yeah.
I actually know one winter solstice book that I really liked. And this is a new release that just came out this year. It's called The Shortest Day. And it's by Susan Cooper and with illustrations by Carson Ellis. And it's a poem that Susan Cooper wrote called The Shortest Day. And it's about the winter solstice.
Yeah.
And it's a very lovely poem that I've had in my life since I was a child because there was an event I went to every year basically as a kid through high school really and maybe a little bit into my adult life with my parents. We went to this event every year where as part of the event they always read this poem. So I really loved this picture book because it sort of brought back memories of those times. So it's very nice. It's a poem about the solstice.
Yeah.
But that's my only solstice book that I know.
Oh, okay. Emily?
Yes?
I have a confession to make.
What's that?
I've only, like, read one Christmas book that I remember.
Really?
Yeah. Christmas, I don't read at all because I'm too busy watching The Polar Express, The Christmas Spirit, and other great movies.
Did you read The Polar Express book ever?
No.
Because you know it's based on a book?
Really?
Uh-huh.
The Oriental?
With really beautiful illustrations. But so what is the... only Christmas book that you know?
It's one that I talked about on this show, like the last show.
What was it?
Welcome Comfort.
Welcome Comfort.
Yeah.
So you didn't read books when you were a kid about Christmas?
No, like I only watched...
Like How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Wait, did I actually read that?
Or did you see the movie for that one?
No, I actually saw, like, whenever I think of Christmas, my only thoughts are laying in bed for too long, opening... No, like, okay, so this is my daily schedule on every single Christmas. Well, most Christmases. sleeping in for too long, waking up, eating breakfast, waiting for everyone to start waking up or eat breakfast, calling you out, Cecile. Or my dad, like, sometimes he's like, I gotta finish my food. And all he's drinking is coffee. Mm-hmm. Or, like, he's eating something and I'm like, hurry up, guys, because I really want to open up presents a lot. Opening up presents, being like, yay, I got blah, 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 or blank.
And or blank.
Yeah, because it could be anything. And me being like, oh, it's 10, because sometimes I wake up at 8 or 9. And I'm like, oh, it's 10. We better start watching those movies. And it's
so what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Ooh. This is going to be hard.
You can name a few.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Emily is the best. Hashtag number one person.
It's my Christmas gift to you.
Even though it's not Christmas yet.
It's a pre-Christmas gift.
Okay, yeah. The Polar Express. Mm-hmm. The new Grinch movie.
Which one? The live action or the animated?
The animated.
Okay.
Not like the one cartoon one. I mean like the
not
new one.
Not the original
one.
Cartoon. But the yeah, new cartoon.
The new one. The Christmas Spirit. And I'm guessing that none of you have heard of this who are hearing the show. So I'm going to try to summarize it. I actually didn't watch most of the movie. Darn it, I can't summarize this that well.
So is it really one of your favorites if you didn't
like,
watch it?
Well, I was like, no, I don't want to watch it because I was like too busy coloring my squishy mushy, which is a squishy.
Mushy.
Yeah. So I'm just going to try to summarize this the best I can. So it's about this girl who somehow gets a hotel. And there are a few days where she's there and she's like, huh, okay. Some weird stuff has happened. The lights turned off. Even though I turned them on, some crazy stuff has happened. The fan broke. This vase, like, fell off and stuff. Like, I don't remember what broke, but out of nowhere, she sees this man, I think. I'm sorry, but I haven't watched this since last Christmas, kinda. Because I didn't watch most of it, because I was busy coloring in my squishy mushy. So, she, like, met this man, and she was like, hey, you're not staying here. And then, like, she blinks for a second, and then he's gone.
Wow.
Okay, and that's all I'm going to tell you guys.
Cool. You want to know my favorite Christmas movies?
What? You can only name three.
I can name three? Okay.
Yeah. Three or four.
Three or four.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking with Amelia last week about this, and she thought it was more of a Halloween movie, and I thought it was more of a Christmas movie, but I love The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, no. The creator said that it was more of a Halloween movie, and that
I think
is
of it as a Christmas movie.
Oh, no, 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 no. It is a Halloween movie.
I just don't buy it. I don't know. To me, it's very clearly a Christmas movie. But anyway, since it's my choice, I'm claiming it. So I love that one. In terms of the classics, I haven't seen it in a number of years, but I used to watch it every year, is It's a Wonderful Life. And I like the original Grinch. I haven't seen the newer ones, but I like the animation.
Okay.
And then I'd be lying if I didn't say Elf.
Oh.
I just think Elf is really funny and fun. But I'd say those are my favorites. I'm probably forgetting one.
Emily, I forgot to mention one that I just saw recently.
What was that?
Home Alone 1. Oh. I have just seen it, and it is the bomb.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid. It's good, though. It holds up, even though it's as old as me. It's less old than me, actually, but it came out when
really
I was a kid.
Young. You look really young, like in your 20s.
So just like the movie holds up, I hold up.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You can't go past 21.
Really. Oh, okay, I'm 21.
Yes, you are 21 and you will stay 21.
Cool. I don't think I talked about Christmas books.
Yes.
Did I?
You I only talked about the seltzer
book. Oh, the solstice book.
Yeah.
So for a Christmas book, so the one that reminds me the most of my childhood is Santa Mouse, which is really cute. It's about a mouse who ends up becoming Santa's helper. And it's very sweet. So that was my favorite growing up. And then recently I've read a couple that I really liked in recent years. One is a Taro Gomi book called Presence Through the Window. And it's a little kid's book that has, you know, like a little window in the book. So you can see something through the window. And then when you turn the page, it kind of reveals what it really is. And so there's all of these different creature characters that are getting gifts from Santa through the window. And so it's kind of like a revealing book where, you know, each time you turn the page, it reveals something. But part of the reveal is that as you're reading the book, you realize that Santa maybe made some wrong deliveries because people are getting gifts that make sense for their neighbors.
Oh.
So it's really cute and very simple and interesting.
Okay.
And then I read a really good one this year that actually ties together Christmas and Hanukkah, which Ooh. Is nice. It's called The Trees of the Dancing Goats by Patricia Polacco. And it's the story of a young girl named Trisha who loves spending Hanukkah with her family, and they're getting really excited for Hanukkah and, you know, celebrating.
Yeah.
And they go to visit their neighbors, and their neighbors, like the whole neighborhood except for their family, have gotten scarlet fever. So they're very sick and aren't able to really celebrate Christmas. And so they feel bad for their neighbors because they know how much joy Hanukkah brings for them and how much joy Christmas celebrations brings for their neighbors. So they decide to cut down Christmas trees and decorate them and secretly deliver them to all their neighbors. And so it's about the family doing that.
Yeah.
The Christmas and Hanukkah season. So it's a very sweet book.
Emily, I just realized something.
What's that?
We read a Christmas book today, and I totally forgot about it.
You read one today?
Yeah, a Christmas book.
What was it called?
I can't remember what it was called. So it's about this family who is from Germany, and in this story, they brought over Christmas.
Like they've come to the United States?
Yeah,
and
they
brought
came,
their Christmas
no,
celebration?
No, they came to Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And, basically. And they, were like, oh, this is what we do. And, they chopped down trees and, did, stuff what we would have done in the olden days when there was no electricity, no phones, not even your Chromebook. So they did some of that stuff, and they got made fun of because they were the only ones who did that. And then a couple years later, year after year, a family would copy them and they would do the same thing as them. And it made me think of one of my friends was copyrighted artists, which is a game that we played together, which I am bad at because it doesn't let me play it. Even though you don't even have to move around in the game. So, yeah. People eventually just, copied them.
Interesting.
Yes.
I have another Hanukkah book to talk about.
Oh my god. Talk about Hanukkah.
There are not as many Hanukkah books as there are Christmas books.
Yeah.
There are so many Christmas books that come out every year. And there's usually some Hanukkah books, but not as many. So it's a little more slim pickings. But there are some really good ones that I like. But my new favorite one that came out, I think, last year is called Hanukkah Hamster by Michelle Markell. And it's about a cab driver named Edgar who, after a long day of work, is getting ready to go home and realizes there's a hamster in his car. So somebody left a hamster behind in his car. And so he does his due diligence and, you know, reports it to Lost and Found at the cab company so that if anyone is like, I'm missing my hamster, that they'll be able to find their hamster. And in the meantime, he takes care of the hamster in his home, and they form a nice connection. He names the hamster Chickpea and starts to celebrate Hanukkah with his new hamster friend. And he lives alone. His family's back home in Israel, and so he's missing his family. And so it's nice to have this little creature to, spend the holiday with. And it's very sweet.
Yeah.
It warmed my little heart.
You're saying that you
my
have
big
a
heart.
Tiny heart.
It warmed my big, huge heart.
Okay.
But it was really nice. And you said you had something you wanted to talk about with Hanukkah?
No, it was Kwanzaa.
Oh, Kwanzaa?
A book that I read. So it was a book where she's like, oh, I can't wait for Kwanzaa. And then she's like, hopefully my big brother makes it because he's coming back home from college. And there's a big snowstorm and he couldn't make it.
Oh.
And she's like, oh, what would Kwanzaa be like without my big brother? And she was all sad the whole time. Like, they invited friends and family. They tried to cheer her up. And then, like, I'm pretty sure at the end of the... Never mind.
no spoilers?
Yeah, no spoilers. Yeah.
For those who are listening on Thursday, on this Saturday, December 21st at 4 p.m. at Hudson Hall, Operation Unite is holding their Kwanzaa Umoja celebration.
What's Umoja? You're glad that I asked.
And I just looked up Umoja because I didn't know what it meant.
Okay.
And in Swahili, it means unity.
Unity? Mm-hmm. What's unity mean?
In Kwanzaa, the seven principles of Kwanzaa, Umoja means unity, and it's to strive for and to maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's on Saturday at 4 p.m. at Hudson Hall, so Saturday, December 21st. So if you're listening Thursday, there's still time to attend.
Yeah.
But we also wanted to talk a little bit about songs before we go, because
there's
lots of great holiday songs. Again, not as many that I know about the solstice or about Kwanzaa, but I'm sure they do exist. And not so many about Hanukkah either.
I know a
lot. Although we know at least one.
I know, like, a few of them because I've been in school for a while, and they're like, we have to include Hanukkah. How dare you not include
Hanukkah? There may also be some songs that are sung that are more religious, too, that aren't as popular in terms of, like, popular culture. But what's one of the songs that you know? The only one I know is the dreidel song.
Okay, so, wait, do you mean the one where it's like, oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay.
Yeah.
And when it's dry and ready, oh, dreidel, I shall play. Like, there's actually a game that's really fun that goes with it.
The dreidel game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's a good time. But you sing other Hanukkah songs, too?
Yeah, but there's, like, one where it's, like, spin and spin, dreidel spin, let the Hanukkah fun begin, twirl and spin, whirl around, let the dreidel hit the ground, tell the tale for all 8 nights, it's a festival of lights, what a wondrous holiday, we will sing and we will play. Recorders, and then they repeat the singing.
Huh, I like that.
And then, like, third graders, like, repeat the singing. Fourth graders keep on playing the recorders. So, since I'm a fourth grader, it's sing, play, play. And then third graders get sing, play, sing. So, yeah.
That's a lot. Keep track of what you're supposed to be doing. But I like that song. I never heard that one before.
Yeah.
I like that more than the dreidel song. Although the dreidel one's catchy.
Yeah. It's like, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. Like, last time I heard it and I actually remembered all of it was, like, when I was in kindergarten. I forgot what happened in third grade. Like, did I win?
Do you have any favorite Christmas songs?
Oh. There's one that people say it involves religion.
That's okay. What is it?
Okay, I'm sorry if anyone is like, oh my god, that is so offensive, because I don't know how it's religious. So it starts out like this. Ding, dong, ding, dong. Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all sing and say, so joy throws away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek, young and bold. Ding, dong, ding, dong, that is a song with joy will bring.
Yeah, it's a little too high for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah.
That's your favorite? Well, how does it make you feel?
It's one of my favorites. It makes me feel, like, happy. But my number one, if you're asking,
I am.
Is, you know, Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Cupid.
Vixen.
Connor and, I meant Vixen. But you know it all. The most wonderful reindeer of all. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw I sang that when I was in kindergarten too.
So that's your favorite?
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Yeah, and my mom told me that they're going to take it off the radio. We'll take it off the internet, basically, because, like, radio is internet and internet is radio. Basically, kind of. They're just going to be like, Thanos snap, you never existed. Like,
why?
Because it was, like, about bullying.
Oh
yeah, because, like, they didn't let him play because he had a red nose.
But it's about how he overcomes bullying and becomes like the star of the show and how he's so important and what made him special and different and people were bullying him for was actually an asset. And
what's an asset?
A positive thing. It has a purpose.
Oh my God.
Like Santa wouldn't be able to drive his sleigh through all that snow without this shiny red nose. So it was an asset to their team, his nose.
Yeah. And also, instead of saying his red nose, I almost said his stuffy nose.
His stuffy nose. That's why it was red, because he had a little bit of a cold.
Yeah. Like, as soon as he was born, and then, boom, it started glowing because he started playing with a glow stick. It fell on his nose.
Mm-hmm.
Because my sister actually broke a glow stick once, and she was wearing shorts, and she started drawing on her legs, and it started glowing, and the glow stick magic just went on her legs.
Wow.
Yeah. And she did that on purpose, and I'm mad at her because I'm like, no, I don't want to die. You can just go do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we run out of time, I will tell you my favorite Christmas songs.
Yes.
So my favorite Christmas album, first of all, which is a different thing.
Wait, what's
now? Is like a collection of songs on a disc or a playlist, is Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings has a really great sort of soulful Christmas album. It also has a Hanukkah song on it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And actually, I like that Hanukkah song, too. But I think I like some of the kind of like nice classics like White Christmas or The Christmas Song or I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Or All I Want for Christmas.
I actually do like some of those cheesy ones too. I love the Mariah Carey All I Want for Christmas Is You. And I love Last Christmas by Wham.
Oh, I love Last Christmas. They even made a movie about it. And I was like, let's go see it. And then... I found out later that wasn't for kids, but I am the one who went to go watch Shazam, which was PG-13.
Shocking.
Yes. Not at all, because I watch anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, those are some of our holiday picks.
Yeah.
So we hope everyone out there listening has a good week.
Or Christmas.
And more importantly, a happy solstice, a happy Hanukkah,
Christmas,
and a Merry
Kwanzaa.
Christmas.
You forgot
and
Kwanzaa.
And happy Kwanzaa, too.
Yes, thank you for including Kwanzaa.
Thank you for pointing out that we should include Kwanzaa.
Yes. Well, yes. I hope you have a merry holidays, four of them.
And it's not here yet, but Happy New Year, too.
Yeah, and also, for your New Year's resolution, I'm going to recommend this one. Try to read as many books as you can, and happy reading!
Happy reading!
Yay!
Now here's one for all the little kids. You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Public officials in Greene County were sworn in January 1st at the county courthouse in Catskill. Eight officials took the office. Greene County Sheriff Peter Kaminsky, Under Sheriff Adam Branard, Coroners Richard Vigillo and Paul Sini, County Clerk Marilyn Farrell, County Corrections Superintendent Michael Overbaugh, and Deputy Clerks Amy Catt and Lillian Beechard. Judge Terry Wilheim administered the oaths. Kaminsky was elected in November, defeating opponent Diana Benoit in the only contested countywide race. Kaminsky, who ran on the Republican and conservative lines, succeeds Greg Seeley, who served as sheriff for 12 years before his retirement. Kaminsky has an extensive law enforcement background. He was named Greene County's Lawman of the Year in 1998 and in 2008 was the State Police Troop F's Investigator of the Year. Kaminsky said he was humbled by the support he has received. He said, and I quote, "I think the best way I can thank you is to do the best job I can as Greene County Sheriff," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Kate Lisa is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media. In the town of Coymans, three men were sworn in at Town Hall January 1st, marking a new era for the town with a board comprised of three Republicans and two conservatives. Republican Assemblymember Chris Teague of Schoharie attended the ceremony and congratulated the board, calling the moment a new beginning for the town. In November, Conservative Zachary Collins and Republican Brandon LaFerve were each elected to serve four-year terms as councilman, and Conservative George McHugh was elected to a two-year term as town supervisor. The terms of incumbent Republicans Daniel Baker and Kenneth Burns continue through 2021. The newly constituted board took immediate action, voting unanimously to dissolve the five-member Coymans Conservation Advisory Council and proposing a law to dissolve the town's planning board, transferring its responsibilities to the Zoning Board of Appeals. The proposed board would have seven members. The members of the Conservation Council and Planning Board were notified last month that their positions were eliminated. McHugh said he chose to disband the Conservation Council because he did not see a reason for it to exist. The board also approved a five-year payment-in-lieu-of-tax agreement for landlord Coymans Recycling Center for incoming business Composite Technology and Infrastructure. The business is slated to open in February. The Coymans board has scheduled a joint workshop meeting to discuss shared services with the Ravenna Village Board of Trustees on January 13th. Read the full story in the Ravenna News Herald. Bethany Bump is reporting for the Times Union. The State Department of Health has proposed reducing state Medicaid payments by 1% effective January 1st. The proposal was published in the State Register this week and comes as New York faces a $6 million budget gap, the largest since the 2008-09 recession. The rate cut would impact providers such as hospitals, nursing homes, doctors, and others who provide care through New York's Medicaid program. The program serves approximately 6 million New Yorkers, most of whom are children, seniors, or individuals with disabilities. The Department of State said in a statement, and I quote, "The reduction in spending growth was approved by the legislature as part of the fiscal year 2020 budget and is being implemented in the fourth quarter of the state's fiscal year as the Department of Health works with its partners to develop an overall plan to reduce Medicaid spending growth while continuing to provide high-quality care to New Yorkers," end quote. Some Medicaid payments will be exempt from the proposed cut, such as those for federally qualified health centers, Medicare prescription drug coverage, school health services, and hospice services. Payments funded exclusively with federal or local funds will also be exempt. Read the full story in the Times Union. The town of Germantown, December 31st, announced the New York Department of State has awarded the town $75,000 to develop a local waterfront revitalization program. Once approved, the LWRP gives more power to a municipality to control the fate of its riverfront. The town's first waterfront advisory committee conducted a revitalization study and made suggestions based on the input it received from the public. During that process, residents requested access to the Hudson River, a plan to be formulated to address the invasive water chestnut problem and the reopening of established swimming areas, according to the press release. A new waterfront committee is now being constituted and will also hold public workshops for additional public input over a 2 to 3 year period. Robert Bury, Germantown supervisor, said, and I quote, "This is an exciting time for Germantown. Over the past decade and a half, our community has undergone a revitalization of the hamlet. With an approved LWRP on the horizon, our waterfront will receive the attention it needs for economic and recreational growth and vibrancy along the 2.5 mile stretch of the river that borders our town. I wish to thank our volunteers who have worked tirelessly to make this a reality," end quote. Read more about this story at germantownny.org. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now here is your WGXE Weather Update. The National Weather Service in Albany is forecasting a sunny Thursday afternoon with a temperature high near 45 degrees and a south wind at 8 to 11 miles an hour. There will be increasing clouds tonight with a temperature low of around 34 and a south wind at 7 to 11 miles an hour. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, showers are likely on Friday, mainly between 9 and 5 p.m. It will be cloudy with the temperature high near 44 degrees. Rain is likely mainly after 1 a.m. on Friday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 35. And on Saturday, more rain with a temperature high near 42 degrees. On Saturday night, rain before 10 p.m., then rain and snow between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m., then snow is likely after 4 a.m. The temperature low will be around 30 degrees. And that's your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Scenic Hudson is holding a series of workshops around the area this weekend about Hudson River access. Residents of riverfront communities that enjoy fishing, launching boats, bird watching, or hunting along the Hudson shoreline, or just watching the river or the railroad go by, can come to these meetings about waterfront access. Scenic Hudson has commissioned a study to document where people use the river for recreation, the Hudson River for recreation, and where they want shoreline access. They're going to have 3 meetings locally on this issue. January 3rd at Castleton on Hudson, 7 to 8:30 p.m. in the Fire Department Community Room, 11 Green Avenue, Castleton on Hudson. Also January 4th in Germantown, 10:30 a.m. to noon at the Kellner Activity Center at 50 Palatine Park Road in Germantown. And then also January 4th in Rhinebeck from 3 to 4:30 p.m. at the Rhinebeck Town Hall, 80 East Market Street, Rhinebeck. Go to scenichudson.org for more information about any of these public meetings this weekend about public access to the Hudson River.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for January the 2nd, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo postponed a planned trip to Ukraine in order to deal with the ongoing developments in Baghdad. That from CNN, quoting the State Department. Following day 2 of the protests, a State Department spokesperson said Wednesday that the situation around the embassy in Baghdad has improved. CNN notes that Iraqi security forces regained control of the area around the U.S. embassy Wednesday after paramilitary groups asked their supporters to withdraw. Farmers in states like Nebraska will not be surprised to hear 2019 was one of the wettest on record.
And Karen Gleason, a climate scientist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, says all data indicate that extreme weather events like this year's floods, along with periods of prolonged drought, are here to stay. This year's flooding in Nebraska, which could be seen from space, resulted in damage costing more than $1.3 billion.
There are certainly going to be costs associated with losses or anticipated losses. There were some crops that didn't get planted until June. You have a shorter growing season that can put you at risk in the fall for early frosts or freezes.
In just the past 10 years, major flooding in the U.S. resulted in losses of at least $40 billion. Gleason says extreme precipitation events are becoming heavier and more frequent. She explains that as global temperatures rise, more water evaporates from the land and oceans, leading to stronger downpours, which increase the likelihood of flooding. I'm Eric Galatis.
Both the Platte and Missouri rivers far exceeded their banks in 2019.
If you'd like to tap NOAA's climate data, it's at NOAA.gov. A New Mexico food bank marks 40 years of operations in Albuquerque in 2020 and says it's serving more people than ever with resources that would otherwise go to waste.
Most of the food rescued by the Roadrunner Food Bank is unprepared and includes bakery goods, meat, dairy, produce, canned, and dry goods. President and CEO Mag Strittmatter says millions of pounds of rescued food are picked up each year from grocery stores, food manufacturers, growers, farmers, wholesalers, and others. She says people struggling with food insecurity accept that they have to pay their rent or utility bills and often choose to go hungry instead.
So food is always that one negotiable item that people often go with less than. And the majority of people we're helping are working.
Hunger is often worse in rural areas because a lack of transportation makes it hard to get to food bank sites. It's estimated that nationwide, 37 million people experience food insecurity, meaning 1 in 10 Americans is hungry. I'm Roz Brown.
According to FoodRescue.net, more than 40% of food in America goes to waste. That includes 50% of all fresh produce that is purchased and later thrown away. This is PNS. A telephone cooperative in two depressed Kentucky counties may have found a good path for economic development in poor rural areas through superfast broadband.
The People's Rural Telephone Cooperative serves 18,000 people in Jackson and Owsley counties with the collapse of coal mining, one of the poorest spots in the country. CEO Keith Gabbard says during the Great Recession, they moved to connect every home and business with gigabyte-capable fiber. He says it was very expensive, but it made possible a boom in tech support work for companies such as U-Haul and Apple.
Over 1,000 jobs created, work-from-home jobs. They have benefits. Some of these people are working for Apple. They're doing tech support for Apple, and all of them are paying more than a lot of the minimum wage things that are available around here.
Gabbard says it cost $50 million, $5,000 a mile, because it's especially expensive to wire the last mile to buildings. But he calls it the best investment they've ever made. Along with the general improvement in the economy, broadband helped cut their unemployment rate by two-thirds, from a peak of 16% to 5% now. Like much of rural Maine, eastern Kentucky has suffered in recent years. Not only has it been hit by changes in the energy markets, it's also seen problems such as the opioid crisis. Dan Hyman reporting for the Public News Service.
Finally, Eric Tegedoff reports several fatal accidents linked to e-cigarettes made headlines in 2019, and health advocates are hoping that young people in Texas and across the U.S. will consider making a New Year's resolution to kick the habit.
Marina Hench with the Texas chapter of the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network says it's never too late to stop vaping or smoking, and making a New Year's resolution would be a good first step.
People need help in quitting. It's an addictive substance and can be a challenge, and so having support really important from family, from friends.
Hench says state and federal governments can also do more to help young people kick the habit and stop tobacco companies from recruiting new users. E-cigarette companies have said the product is not intended for kids and that they primarily market vaping to people trying to stop smoking traditional cigarettes. According to Texas's